Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet, and we have racing at Cheltenham once again. A stellar Saturday to look forward to. We'll be looking at five races from Cheltenham, including the December Gold Cup this year, of course, run to support the Hunt Family Fund December Gold Cup. Of course, we'll be looking at that race in detail, as well as an action-packed card at Cheltenham. Five live ITV races there, and we'll also be heading north. We've got three cracking races from Doncaster to look forward to as well. So stay where you are, keep with us. We've got loads of good weekend action to look forward to. Joining me to dissect what we've got is Racing Post handicapper in the top right, if you're watching along, Johnny Pearson. Bottom left, Graham Rodway. And bottom right, as always, is Unibet's Ed Nicholson. Joining me, your host, James Stevens. Let's go to Cheltenham. And the first race we'll be previewing is, as I touched on there, the 150 at Cheltenham. Support the Hunt Family Fund December Gold Cup Handicap Chase. Before we get stuck into this race, of course, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon. There's a big charity do this evening for John Hunt's family, raising money to support women affected by violence. So do check out the charity auction. Some incredible lots on there. Just goes to highlight how much of an important member John is to the racing and racing media community. Let's move on to the big race. So the 150 is the December Gold Cup, and it's led by Jaguar, the 4-1 co-favourite with Ho Jolie Smoke. Vincenzo second in the Paddy Power. He's 9-2. Kim Rogue for Joseph O'Brien at 11-2. Colonel Harry 7-1. Imperial Saint for the Inform Hobbs and White team at 10s, along with Il Redotto. Es Perfecto at 12s. Martador 14s. Galore 22. And Glenn Gooley 28-1. Graham Rodway, great to have you back on the show. You're getting into the festive spirit we can see in your backdrop. Who wins the December Gold Cup?
Yeah, welcome into my centre's grotto, James. Beautiful, beautifully decorated. Obviously nothing to do with me. Mrs. Rodway takes all the credit there. The big one, the 150 at Cheltenham, the Support the Hunt Family Fund December Gold Cup. Yeah, what a cracker it's going to be. It's great to see Jaguar in here, isn't he? I mean, at the start of the Cheltenham November meeting, everyone thought that this could be like the star of the season. You know, go and win the Paddy Power Gold Cup, could be the next exotic dancer or one of those who goes on to challenge for real top honours. And now he comes in here almost as a bit of a forgotten horse, having missed the race, doesn't he? It's very, very sort of strange set of circumstances. I think he's still as exciting as ever. His record at Cheltenham is obviously fantastic. He's unbeaten there in two starts, and I think he's by far the most likely winner. However, I think he is high enough in the weights. He's got 11 stone 8, hasn't he? And unlike the December Gold Cup, there's quite a few improving likely race types coming in against him. And one of them who catches my eye, I think I'm going to back, is Kim Rock, trained by Joseph Patrick O'Brien. And yeah, was second, wasn't he, at Cheltenham last time, behind Caddo St. Frayne and novice handicap chase there. That winner went on to finish second, I think, at Aintree at the weekend behind Guard Your Dreams. I think that form's pretty good. They were trapping along, coming down the hill. And Kim Rock travelled really strongly into race, looked like he might win, and then made a horrendous mistake at the final fence that I think put paid to his chance. But that was his first start away from France. It's joining Joseph O'Brien. I expect he'll improve for the run, and he might just get in loads and loads of weight from Jaguar. He's only off 10 stone 2 of Richie Deegan ride. He might just have too much improvement for Jaguar, but I do respect Jaguar's chances.
Yeah, interesting insight there from Graham. And you touched on Jaguar. Interesting to see the form of a yard. It's been a little bit off and on. One winner from 24, but the last two runners who've not been kind of big prices have run particularly well, one of which winning. So different thoughts there about Jaguar. Let's bring you in, Johnny. Just firstly on this favourite, what's your verdict on him? And who would be your selection in the race?
Well, the favourite's clearly a talented horse with very good form at the course as well. But, you know, he has got quite a lot of weight to carry. And you mentioned the yard not being bidded and out. But I think Graham Rodway has pretty much said everything I was going to say to a T. I quite like the chances of Kim Rock. It was going as well as the rest of them, having arguably been further back in the race would have been ideal. It was a horrendous mistake at the last, and yet he still finished okay up the hill. And provided he jumps a bit better this time, I see him having a huge chance. But I also don't think Colonel Harry should be overlooked. You know, he was up in trip last time, but not up in trip. He was back to 2.5 last time and put in a pretty good effort to win at Aintree. And I think he's got a chance as well. But Kim Rock, for me, is definitely the most interesting in there.
Okay, so our tipsters are joining forces. Ed, great to have you back on the show as always. I suppose the other question here is we've talked about one of the co-favourites, we've talked about the other. It's a Skelton and a handicap on a Saturday. Is it not just straightforward by now? Have we not learnt our lessons?
Well, yeah, that's one of the stat attacks for punters, isn't it, over the last few weeks. You're absolutely right. I wouldn't put anyone off Ho Jolly Smoke. Jolly Smoke. But I'm going to go with the other favourite, Jaguar. We've spoken about him. He is a forgotten horse in many ways, in that we're coming up to Christmas and he hasn't run this season. But he's been firmly in my mind for a long time. I honestly, along with others, think he could still be a really progressive individual who could be running at the Cheltenham Festival to try to make it 2 from 2 at the festival. In March, Ryanair and Gold Cup entries, Grand National entry will be there as well. We all know that he's very highly regarded, always going to be a better chaser than a hurdler. And he's proved. He's, I think, he's 1 from 6 over hurdles, he's 4 from 5 over fences, 2 from 2 at Cheltenham, won the Truster Trader plate off 139. It's 148. I mean, I think that's fair. Also, if you watch the race, he didn't jump brilliantly. John Joe. Well, he jumped well, but a couple of occasions he made mistakes. His jumping can still improve, as you'd expect for a horse who's only had a certain number of runs. So I think he's just going to get better. He won with his ears pricked. And I just hope that he's ready to run a big race, because he is going to have to carry a relatively high weight of 11 stone 8. But I do think he'll be a star of the season. And I think at odds of 4 to 1, we might just be looking back at this in March with a form figure of 1 next to his name and 1 at 4 to 1 and a handicap off 148. You'd be thinking, blimey, we should have been on. So, yeah, Jaguar for me. We're doing money back second or third in this race as well with Unibet. So that's another reason to have a go on Jaguar, I think, if you're going to bet with Unibet, because I can't see him coming out of 3.
Okay, so we've got a strong selection for Jaguar. The other two boys are teaming up with Kim Rock, the Irish challenger. Let's move on to the 225 at Cheltenham. This is the Reed Mednichols blog at betmgm.co.uk handicap chase. Over 2 miles and at the top of the betting is David's Well for Chris Gordon, having a really good season indeed. JPR1 for Joe Tizard also flying along this season. He's 100-30. Country Mile for the Skeltons at 11-2. Accelero for Jane Williams at 6-1, along with another Tizard runner, Triple Trade. Gunsight Ridge at 9-1. Sons Brew, the Red Rum winner, at 12s. Dr. TJ Eckelberg, 28s. And Joker Demai, 40-1. Outsider, we'll start with you firstly, Johnny. Now, we know you've got a bit of a link with the Chris Gordon Yard. Are you expecting the Yard to be celebrating?
I'd like to hope they will be. I mean, as you say, they've started this, well, I say season, you know, since sort of October, their horses have been running incredibly well. And okay, they haven't got a £3 claim on David's Well this time in Freddie Gordon, but he's obviously not claiming anymore. But Harry Cobden's hardly a bad jockey to get on instead. Last time at Haydock, he was having his first run, having been off for the best part of the year. Travelled well, jumped well, finished the race off well enough. Likely to come on for that run. And the stable's just, I mean, last season they were horribly out of form, which is a shame, but they're going, as far as I can tell, they're going from strength to strength at the minute. This doesn't look the strongest race in the world. You know, I don't think there's anything really completely thrown in. He's still quite unexposed, only having run sort of 3 times over fences. He's won all 3 of them, and I think he's going to make it 4 in a row here.
Okay, so a strong shout for Dave as well, the 9-4 favourite. Ed, what's taking your eye?
Well, I'm going to go for 2 John Roman horses at the weekend. So this is literally my JPR1. And later on, it'll be a JPR2 with Sweet Caroline. But I think JPR1 has got a fantastic chance here. 3rd in the Holden Cup. He came on for that last time out at Ascot. That was a better run, although he finished 3rd. And some might be disappointed. He was kind of well fancied to win that race. But I think he's spot on for today. He is the best horse in the race, and as a consequence, has to carry top weight of 12 stone. But he wouldn't be out of place in a Grade 1 2 miler, I don't think. Certainly, that's where they'd be hoping to go in the spring if he was to win this off off this kind of weight. And I can just see Brendan Powell kind of trying to nurse his one home over 2.5 miles at Cheltenham. But yeah, I think JPR one's absolutely spot on for a good run. I do take the fact that he does have to concede a lot of weight to a lot of kind of nice young horses, especially Dave as well. But yeah, my money's firmly with JPR. We're going top industry price on this race as well from 12 o'clock. So you have a couple of hours to try to take advantage of that.
Yeah, Ed's chucked in a bit of a bonus tip. Ed, I don't know if you know, but there is actually a horse called JPR2 set to run in bumpers this season for the same connection, trained by Paul Nichols. That's one to look forward to, as is, Graham, your selection on the 225 at Cheltenham.
Yeah, I agree with Johnny. I think David's well will win this. He's off 10 stone free right at the bottom of the weights. And he was so impressive at Haydock, wasn't he? It was a really good time, a nice solidly run race. And he made it look easy, David's well. Travelled like a dream and quickened up really smartly. He was very strong at the finish. They were all in a bit of a bunch, 2 furlongs out, but the front two had put 11 lengths on the third, 8 lengths back to the fourth by the time they got to the line. I think he's well ahead of his mark, David's well. Harry Cobden's getting down to ride him, and 10 stone three, his lightest in the last year is 10 stone two, so he's right down near his bottom weight. And there's no one better, is there, around Cheltenham on a horse like this who races prominently. I think Harry Cobden will have him lined up on that inside. We've seen it many, many times. Jump off him first or second or third. And as long as he's near him, near the finish, the way he came home last time, I don't think they'll see which way he goes off 10 stone three here. David's well, very strong on him. I'm with Johnny again.
I know. What a team. I've been copying notes, perhaps. Well, maybe we'll find out as we go to our third race, where we've got another strong favourite in the 3 o'clock at Cheltenham, the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle, this known as the Bristol Novices Hurdle, a grade two prize. And we know the Lucinda Russell team now with Michael Scudamore have had some fantastic staying hurdlers in the past. Well, perhaps Conman John is the latest. He is your 6-5 favourite to repeat that impressive win last time out. They Call Me Hugo for Gordon Elliott, for Ollie Murphy, I should say, at 7-2. Reckless Spending at 9-2. Carlin Riggs 7-1. Casino Des Mott 11s. The Pig Cadillac, Big Cadillac 14-1. And Into Something Good at 33-1. Ed, we'll start with you this time. Conman John, he was impressive at Cheltenham last time. Are we looking at another superstar for the Russell Scudamore team?
I find their operation fascinating because they often mop up the races in the north with their novice hurdlers who are going to be good novice chasers and end up being good handicap chasers. But they beat inferior opposition in the north. And when they come south, they don't always hit the goal, do they? Not even the woodwork. They sometimes go back up north with having lost many races that they think they're going to win. Now, Conman John didn't do that last time out. Conman John came down in October meeting and won really easily, following up his Kelso victory. But I'm keen to take him on at the price. And I really fancy They Call Me Hugo. I think that Conman John will be overbet here because his form figures are decent. They've seen him at Cheltenham before. Lucinda Russell, Michael Scudamore, bringing him back down south. There's always a great deal of money for their horses that do come south. But I was really impressed by They Call Me Hugo at Foss Lass on debut when he hacked up over 2.5 miles on soft ground, it must be said, travelling really well. I think that race was pretty good for Foss Lass. I wouldn't be surprised if the first three are decent horses. They Call Me Hugo beat Irish Corker, who we know from your previous knowledge in this show, Irish Corker is expected to be one of the best novices from their team. And I thought the horse in third, All Stitched Up, is a nice sort as well. So the front pair finished 8 lengths clear. And I think if he stays 3 miles, which he should do, They Call Me Hugo might be a really good alternative to a horse I want to take on in Conman John.
Yeah, I suppose as well of the prize tag of Conman John, 170,000 has also caught the eye. And of course, the successful colours that we've seen with a horse in Euro Maier Town, of course, connections owed a bit of luck after that mishap in the Coral Gold Cup. Graham, what's your verdict?
I mean, it's a really good race, James. Like, it is usually, isn't it? There's been some good winners of it over the years. And I was very impressed with Conman John at Cheltenham. I thought he looked vulnerable coming to the final flight with Great Fleet was cruising all over him. But oh, he really put his head down and run all the way to the line, and he was going away again at the finish. I think he's by far the most likely winner, but obviously the market is all over him, and he's got to give £3 away. The one that I just think might be worth an each-way bet against him, even with only seven runners lining up, is the Dan and Harry Skelton runner, Carlin Rig. It's not often that you get to back Dan and Harry Skelton in these sorts of races at the price that this horse is. And, I mean, they really rattled home in that novice hurdle at Chepstow last time. I think the finishing speed percentage was around about 120 over 2.5 miles. So he definitely wouldn't have been suited by a really fast finish. But nevertheless, you know, the front two really pulled away from the third. The winner was Rocking Man, who looks pretty useful himself. And Carlin Rig is definitely going to improve for going up to 3 miles, having been so strong at the finish over 2.5 at Chepstow last time. So, you know, I think Conman John will win, but I'm going to back Carlin Rig each way against him.
Yep, 7-1 at the time of recording with Unibet. Johnny, you and Graham seem to be agreeing all the time. Is this a latest episode?
Well, come Saturday evening, the pair of us are either going to be very happy or very unhappy, because I have also selected Carlin Rig here. It was, I think, the Rocking Man, the winner, the Sam Thomas horse, I think is a pretty decent operator. As you said, they've not gone particularly quick. It's finished into a sprint. He was having his first run for the yard in the best part of a year without running at all. And I think there's probably a lot more to come from the horse, stepping up 3 miles or so. And he's quite a big price, but he's still very much unknown what he might be capable of. So it's a bit of a chance. But I think there's more to come, and at the prices, I'm going to have a little bit on.
Okay, so, yeah, you really are teaming up. Carlin Rig, the selection for the boys. Conman John, I'm with you. I'm with Conman John. I think he'll win this. Right, two more races to look at in speed. From Cheltenham, that's the 1:15 at Cheltenham, the quintessentially mares handicap chase. And then as well, last race on the card is the 3:35. Download the BetMGM mares download the BetMGM app, Mares Handicap Hurdle, those two races, and you've got full reign for the rest of Saturday's card and maybe Friday if you want. What else has caught your eye? We'll start with you, Johnny.
Well, the 1:15 at Cheltenham is a Mares Handicap chase of 2.5 miles, and I might be going a bit mad here, but there's one at quite a big price that's caught my eye, and that's Sunday Soldier with James Best taking the ride. Her two starts this season haven't been great. She's been beaten, you know, sort of best like 40 lengths with them combined. But this time last year, she put in a career best performance over fences when winning at Exeter, I think it was. And if she is able to get back to that form, she'll be pretty well handicapped coming in here. You know, that was, she was off 121 that day. She's now down to a mark of 112. If really, she's only a 7-year-old, there's still upside. If get back to that form, I think I can see her having a very solid player's chance here, and I'll be backing her each way.
Okay, Sunday Soldier in the 1:15. Just trying to pull up a bit of a price there myself, Johnny. Whilst I do, Ed, you can talk us through what else has caught your eye.
Yeah, well, in the 1:15, I really fancied something in that race as well. Rialto Leith, or Leith, trained by Warren Greatrix, who is one of the trainers in form at the moment. 6 wins from his last 14 runners when we record this on Thursday in 14 days. Every horse he puts into a race seems to be going well. And I do like a trainer in form. And the mare's in form as well. She won her first chase last time out at Fontwell when being kicked clear after the last and then eased up. She could have won by double the distance that she did. Sean Bowen on board, there's nothing not to like about that. And rated 112, I think there's plenty of opportunity to climb up the handicap. And she's in a mare's only race, so she's going against her own sex. We're going extra places here, and at 7-1, I think, or thereabouts, I think that's a nice each-way price. And also the final race, another mare's race. I think we've got 3 mare's only races on ITV this weekend. But this is a mare's handicap hurdle. And it's the kind of rematch between Jubilee Alpha and Sweet Caroline, who fought out the finish to the Paul and Richard Barber Memorial Mares race at Wincanton on the day that Paul Nicholls does like to farm those races. Especially, he wanted to win this race given the name of the people that they were running in memory of them. And Jubilee Alpha almost did it. She really hit the second last and lost all sorts of momentum and still came up to only lose by about a length to Sweet Caroline. She gets a £2 pull for a length. So if you're looking at form and you're looking at the way the race was run, you'd be all over Jubilee Alpha. But I'm keeping with Sweet Caroline. It will be the second John Romans winner of the afternoon, I think, on ITV Racing. Good times never seem so good for John Romans at the moment. And I think Sweet Caroline can win four times on the trot. What amazing mare. She's won from 99 and she'll be winning off 116 on Saturday as she did. We're super boosting this race and I think it'll be a super boost for everyone who's back Sweet Caroline because I think she'll win.
Okay, well, I can only apologise for anyone who's listening along because they didn't get to see all three of us rolling our eyes at that atrocious pun there, Ed. But Sweet Caroline, your selection in the last of 3:35 and Rialto Liaf in the 1:15. I said I'd touch on Johnny's by Sunday Soldier 22-1 with Unibet. So potentially a huge prize for Johnny. Surely you've not picked that one out as well, Graham.
No, I've not. And I've not picked dead ones either. I've got a different one. So we've all got different ones in the 1:15. I thought Grey Vowel would run well. This horse ran over fences last time and didn't take to it. Got thrashed by Pick Rock, who actually was really unlucky in the Coral Gold Cup, wasn't he? He got tailed off of that ridiculous start. Don't get me started on these ridiculous standing starts. They have to get rid of them. You know, ruining the sport, aren't they? Certainly ruined that great race. Anyway, Grey Vowel.
What should you do instead, Graham?
Put some stalls on there. Get them in the stalls. Get the old stalls handlers and stick them in a bunch of stalls. Make the stalls bigger. Get them out there. Oh, you've got to get rid of standing start. I don't care if they run in 10 times and do 10 full starts, right? I'd rather that than all line up and everyone go, and then everyone go, there's all like chaos and bumper cars, everyone's bumping into everyone. You know, it's ridiculous. Got to get rid of it. You know, it's ruining the sport. I'm not just saying that because I backed an horse that lost it at the start that day. You know, it's happened many, many times before. You know, I was on Resplendent Grey that day and might as well throw my ticket away at the start. You know, and anyone who backed Pick Rock was the same. There was two or three others.
Doyen Chief,
Doyen Chief was another one. You know, I mean, how can you have a situation where you got trainers targeting a race, big race like that for months and months and months, and then they all have to line up and bump into each other? It's just crazy. Anyway, that's rant over. Grey Vowel, didn't take the fences behind Pick Rock, but won the Mare's Challenger Final over the course and distance. Her only sole start at the track in April. It's generally an angle that I quite like, something that people poke fun at me for, but I do like horses that are, as I call them, unexposed at the track, James. You know, one win there. We just don't know. She could just be a budding course specialist. We'll find out, hopefully. Another course specialist in that mare's race. Now, if we go back 12 months, this, of course, was the race when I said that a certain horse called Joyeuse had 20 or 30 pounds in hand of the handicapper and that she would definitely win this mare's race. Now, of course, little did I realise that the winner was Wad Hu, who is now obviously pretty much a grade one horse and also had no doubt 20 or 30 pounds in hand herself. So that just shows you, doesn't it? I mean, of course, Joyeuse did go on and win the Betfair hurdle and did end up being rated 20 or 30 pounds higher. So I was right, but I still didn't collect. Nevertheless, this year, Pretending was eighth in that race last year. And it was a really good race. I've already said, like, Wadu won it. Joyeuse was second. The third was Take No Chances. The form worked out really good, and Pretending was eighth in it off a higher mark, off 122. She's back in the same race here, off 119, £3 lower mark. I could see Pretending running really well in the 3:35, but I'm not going to go as far as saying she's got £20 in hand this time, James.
No, and it's good to remember how good a race that was last year. I mean, that's one of the hottest races we might have seen for a very long time. Indeed. Thank you very much for that, Graham. And I have to say, I do agree with your points regarding the start there. I certainly do get annoyed at standing starts. Not quite sure about the stalls, but I definitely think they give up too easily on the traditional way to start a race. Now, before we move on to look elsewhere, Ed, what have we got to look forward to on Friday?
Yeah, good day, Friday. For us, it's the third qualifier for this season's Unibet Middle Distance Veterans Chase. Second time they would have run one at Cheltenham because the last meeting we had one there as well that was taken from another course that had been called off. So that is significant because the winner of that race runs again, Eldorado Allen, who he was, and some of the other horses that are running in the race, he's a sort of horse this whole race series were made for. Horses that up in the handicap because they've been very good, not coming down the handicap quickly enough and having to run against improving young horses in very good races. They're never going to win. So this was a great opportunity for them to run against their own like 10, 11, 12-year-olds and get them back to that winning feeling, not just for the horse, but for the owners as well, who, you know, that's their pride and joys most of the time. And they just can't win these races. So it was fantastic to see Eldorado Allen win. And also Mr. Coffee come second, I think it was, yet again. So, yeah, we're looking forward to this qualifier. Fugitive looks like he's been lined up for it, doesn't he? But I don't know, Eldorado Allen won so well last time. He might just win it again, you know, now he's got a bit of confidence. But yeah, we're looking forward to that on the Friday.
We look forward to that, and I completely agree with you about Fugitive. If you're watching along on Friday evening, I hope you enjoyed watching Fugitive win. Let's move on after this short break to Doncaster. Okay, we move north to Doncaster, and the first race we're going to be looking at in detail is the 240. This is the Bet365 Doncaster Mares Hurdle, a listed race, and it is those Skeltons who have the favourite in here in Katira. She's 8-13, odds on favourite. World of Fortunes at 4-1, Levida Adiva 8-1, Beth Page 8-1, and Molto Bene at 11-1. Johnny, are we just going to go for the favourite here? Is it straightforward? Katira is the best horse in the race. Does she just simply win?
Yeah, I've not got a huge amount of time for this race, to be honest. Katira is the best horse in there. She's priced accordingly. World of Fortunes, priced accordingly, is the second best in there. And she will more than probably come second. And there'll be 1-2. It's going to be a fairly boring watch. And that's that.
It certainly is. Straightforward from Johnny. You agree, Ed?
Yeah, I do. Katira is much better rated than the rest. And funnily enough, this is a relatively new race. I think it was only run for the first time last year. And Dan Skelton put this race as last year as a target for Katira after she won her first race, or came second in the first race of the season, but then didn't go for this race and went for the Grade One long walk instead. So that's how much they think of her. So this year they've gone back to Plan B and they're running her in this race. And it looks an easy opportunity. I think she's 6-14 over hurdles, and I think all six have been in races just for mares. So this is a really good opportunity. And don't forget, there is a Grade Two mares race at the course in January, late January, trials day over at Cheltenham. And I would imagine that she's going to go there following a win here. Yeah, I think she wins. It's 4-7. She's 4-7. You can't really back her, but she should win.
Yep, two shouts for Katira. Graham, straightforward this one, isn't it?
No, absolutely not. This is a mentally bad price, this Katira. I mean, this has got to be taken on. It does not stay 3 miles. It's run four times over this trip. It's been beaten all four times, 8-11, 11-8, 4-7. It ran over the course and distance last year and pulled far too hard and got outstayed by Jatara. She might well be better than the rest of them, but she is an awful price. And we haven't even got Harry Skelton there riding it. I mean, I know that Tristan Durrell's a promising young rider, but this Katira takes a right old grip over this trip, and he'll do well to hold on to her and have enough left up this long Donny straight. You know, it's not even like it's a really sharp test, is it? It's a real galloping track. And you know, I think she'd be vulnerable, 100% vulnerable from the last. She'll travel like thunder, you know, she always does, but I don't think she gets home over this trip. Well keen to take her on, and the one that I want to be with is Molto Bene, who definitely does stay, because she won over fences last time out Huntingdon, and she looked like she was going to lose coming to the last. Something went by her, and she stayed on really, really strongly. and was going away again at the finish over three. Now, I suppose that the worry is that her improvement has come over fences, and she's got absolutely loads to find. Like, she's 30-odd pound behind Katira, for example. But it might just be that she's improved for wind surgery. She's had two runs over fences this season and unbeaten in them, albeit in a much lower grade, but that both those runs have come since wind surgery, and she definitely showed the benefit of it last time, because when she came under pressure, she really knuckled down, and there was no problems with the wind that day. So yeah, she needs to take a massive step up. She's the big outsider, Molto Bene, but that's the one I'm going to back against Katira. But I am very confident Katira won't win this. If you're a layer, if you like laying on the exchanges and stuff like that, I'll be dead against her, Katira.
Okay, Graham, you once again caused one of the big surprises. We are going to have a difference of opinion at Doncaster. We're all agreeing at Cheltenham, we're all disagreeing at Doncaster. What we love to see, Katira want to take on, according to Graham, the 205 at Doncaster in the next race, the Bet365 Pennine Handicap Chase. Favourite here is Doc Pick Me 11-4, Prince Zalta 100-30, Alkido at 7-2, Joya Mashan at 5s. Il de Jersey and Hurricane Bay 17-2 and Earn River 9-1. Ed, what wins?
I really like Doc Pick Me here. Is the favourite, so obviously has chances and good chances at that. Richard Hobson might have won the day before with Fugitive, according to you, James. So we'll be looking for a quick fire double in two successive days. Not a big stable, so it'll be quite a big weekend for him. And I Doc Pick Me just looks the classic horse for this sort of race. He's won four of his 17 chases, but he loves Doncaster. He's run there four times. He's won twice and come second on a further occasion. Introduced, showing his best form. I think his best top speed figure and his best racing post rating is at it comes from Doncaster. So he loves the course. And I'm a big fan of Charlie Maggs, the jockey. Plenty of our viewers and listeners will know Charlie Maggs, but maybe some don't. He's a young, promising Northern jockey, had his first ride in 2022. But every year he's improved his rides and his wins. He's gone from one winner in 22 to 3-17-22 in the 2025. And he even rode a double on the flat at Chester, which, you know, you have to be some jockey to win around there on I think it was a 7.5 furlong race, so on Port of Fort. So he's a really good jockey. He's doing well. Might be a little bit underrated still. And I just think the whole race is made around Doc Pick Me Up. And I really expect him to win. Bit short for me, 5-2, but I do in what is a handicap, competitive handicap chase, but I really like him.
Yeah, and as you say about Charlie, picked up a ride and a winner this week for Gordon Elliott. So clearly it's not just your eyes that he's caught the attention of, Ed. That's Doc Pick Me is Ed's selection. Johnny, what's yours?
Yeah, just going back quickly, I was thinking Graham Rodway was on a very good line of thought with all our Cheltenham selections lining up, but now I think he needs to have Scanlon's brain after a selection in the 240 at Doncaster. £30 wrong. I mean, she stayed well enough, Katira, to finish sort of three lengths behind Cranbourne Ascot over 3 months.
Ratings,
Johnny. Absolutely no chance. But I'm with Ed in the 205. I tipped up Doc Pick Me at Newcastle last time. He ran all right for a while, you know, ended up not being his day. He's down another couple of pounds. He was second in this race by neck last year off 127. He's just 129 now. Lots in his favour. Loves Doncaster, as Ed said. I see him running a huge race, and hopefully he will finish with his head in front of him.
Okay, thank you very much, Johnny. Graham, we'll get your selection, but before we do, you've got a right to reply here. Johnny, saying you need your head checked.
Well, that's the handicapper in here, isn't it? You know, he can only see ratings, can't see with his own eyes. You know, he can only see figures. You know, I mean, anyone who watched that race last time out will know that Molto Bene is going to stay all day up the Doncaster Straight. And I tell you what, if Molto Bene and Katira come over the last together, then there's only going to be one result, and it ain't going to be Katira. Right, the 205, Donny, this is one of the best bets of the day, this. Prince Zaltar. Dan Skelton again, obviously has been the man in handicaps this year, and he's only had this Prince Zaltar since the summer. He got from Philip Rothwell, and very likely race for him. He's already won a hurdle at Newton Abbott, Probably did a little bit too much when beaten at Cheltenham next time, but ran into Kiki Joe back at Cheltenham last time in a race that was working out well. Obviously, Kiki Joe came out and won again at Sandown last week. So I think Prince Zaltar's got lots and lots of upside. It's very interesting that he sends Prince Zaltar back over fences. It's the first time that Prince Zaltar's going to run over fences for Dan Skelton. But he did, of course, win a chase for Philip Rothwell at Punchestown last season. He's still totally unexposed over fences, Prince Zaltar. And he's coming in off a really good run behind Kiki Joe last time, racing off the same mark with Tristan Durrell up claiming three. He's one of the bets of the day, this Prince Zaltar 205.
Thank you much, Graham. I'd have to say, when we started the section on Doncaster, it was all togetherness in sync and agreements between our tips as we've ended on a quite fiery different note. And Johnny, you started the show by saying you weren't even that bothered about the first race at Doncaster. Well, you looked at the 240. I think you'll be watching much more closely now, as we all will. Great to see a difference of opinion. It's what's the game's all about. We'll be sharing our best bets and any other selections this weekend after this word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, just before we get into those all-important best bets, so just a quick glance over what else we've got to come this weekend. Johnny, you're our eyes and our ears all over the world, and it's a huge weekend, not just domestically, but internationally.
Yeah, start off on Sunday morning, we'll go to first. Now, there's Hong Kong's biggest weekend of the year internationally, and you've got four Group 1 races over there with lots of UK and Irish-based jockeys riding, lots of horses, you'll know, and it's one to keep an eye on. And then on Saturday afternoon at Fairy House, it's not a race I've been having a bet in, but the bumper has caught my eye, the 325. You've got Aaron Minter for Gavin Cromwell, who is a sibling to Lotus Sud, who obviously just ran in the Tingle Creek last weekend. And then for William Patrick Mullins, you've got in there a horse called Baby Burn, who, no surprise, is a relation to Ballyburn. So it'll be interesting to see if those two are up to much in that race.
Okay, thank you very much, Johnny. And I don't even want to know what Graham would take on Kai Ying Rising within the big race in Hong Kong, but we're waiting for latency. Lots of Racing Post coverage of all the action this weekend, so do not miss that. And Ed, what have you found for us?
Yeah, it's a good good meeting at Cheltenham on the Friday. We actually went to Nicky Henderson's earlier this week, and we've got a very good 13-minute preview of all his Cheltenham runners this weekend on his blog on Unibet. Content, so go there if you want to see his full 13 minutes of every runner he's got this weekend. He has also got news of his big horses, especially now Lalumba, who put in an awesome display last week and won the Henry VIII Novices. Graham, we had a big discussion about whether he'd have enough speed, but he did.
He was very good, wasn't he, Ed? Lalumba. You know, I was blown away by him, I must admit. I thought that Be Aware like really went a strong pace. And exactly like I said to you, you know, Be Aware will really go out, make sure there's nowhere to hide. But wow, wasn't it amazing how easily Lulamba sort of stayed, not only stayed with the pace, but then brushed him aside. Incredible. I'm surprised he isn't favourite for the Arkle after that.
I think they think him more of a stayer. I mean, obviously, he could win the Arkle. Kopeck, their board would have something else to say about that. But yeah, I think they think of him as a potential Gold Cup horse, and just the way he powered up that hill. I mean, to have the speed to win that race, you're right, he's got to be good over two. But yeah, I think you'll see the best Lulumba in 2 years' time over three. But it was an awesome display. But Nicky's got quite a few of these good novices, and he's got another one on Friday in Califay and Vol, who might not be as good as Lulumba, but is running in a 2.5-mile novice chase at Cheltenham. If you remember, he won the Sydney Banks as a novice hurdler, a race that Shiskin won for the stable a few years ago before turning into a really good chaser. And Calais Falls always looked like a chaser, and it'll be really interesting to see him go and jumping fences for the first time. Will be favourite, but with a 6-mile bridge in the race, he won't be too short. He'd be about 5-4 evens, I expect. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing him jump a fence for the Stone and McNeil family. And we talk about him, or Nikki talks about him in the blog, in the content piece we did this week. So, yeah, that's the one for me, apart from those on ITV on Saturday, James.
Yep, and that's in the 12:40 at Cheltenham on Friday. Let's move on to our best bets. And, Johnny, you can kick us off. The best bet from Pearson is...
It's going to be in the 2:25 at Cheltenham on Saturday. Chris Gordon, Harry Cobden. It's going to be David's Well, whose name will shortly become David's Great.
Very good. Rodway, what's yours?
Oh, well, he should have been made to go for Katira after that. Anyway, 2:05 at Donny is Prince Zaltar. I think we'll win for Skelton and Tristan Durrell. 2:05 Donny.
Okay, Stevens is going Jubilee Alpha in the 3:35. Ed, you gave a great description of that race. I think Jubilee Alpha is going to improve for that comeback run and get her revenge on Sweet Caroline and stop your singing. Ed, what's your nap?
I'm going in the 150 at Cheltenham. Jaguar to continue his upward trajectory in handicaps and win another big race at Cheltenham before going on to Graded Company and even better things in the spring. So Jaguar for me.
In the 150 at Cheltenham. Thank you very much to our lively panellists this afternoon. That's Johnny Pearson, Graham Rodway and Unibet's Ed Nickerson. And thanks for you for watching along. Remember, you can catch the podcast every week at 7 o'clock on Thursday. And we'll also be doing a bit of a Christmas special for you as well. Some of our best bets across a very festive period. All that good racing to come. Can't wait for it indeed. But for now, do make sure to enjoy your weekend from the action at Cheltenham and Doncaster. Goodbye, and of course, gamble responsibly.